Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things.
You don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. An optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We're so happy that you could join us today. Let me know if you can hear me okay, and if you can't, just shoot me over a Skype or a chat. Today we will be teaching on the carnal mind, the devil's playground. Before we start, I would like to start off with prayer, as always. Father God, we just want to first give you all the praise, all the glory, for you are worthy of our praise, and we just want to thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us this platform that we can speak your word, Lord God, unhindered, unadulterated, without any restrictions, Lord God. We thank you that you called us into your vineyard to work. And, Lord God, you tell us that whatsoever things are right, you will pay us our just reward. Lord, we do this with a sincere heart, not looking for any man-made gratification, but only to please you, Lord God, because you have called us in this ministry. And we know that when we go forth in obedience to you, that you will get the increase and you will be glorified. We humble ourselves before you, Lord God, not to be lifted up in pride, but to give all praises to you. for you are the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, we just want to thank you for those of you that could tune in today. We thank you that you took time out of your schedule to join the Kingdom of God ministry. Just want to make an announcement right now. We are broadcasting out of our home at the center. We went over there. We was over there a couple of years, and I don't know, God is doing something, but we put the advertisements out, and, you know, people just didn't come. So we're just going to be broadcasting out of our home. We do need your continued prayer. We need your support. If God touched your heart and if you've been blessed by this ministry, feel free. You can go to our donation page at kogm.net, and there is a PayPal button that you can donate. All of your donations are tax deductible, and we ask that you be faithful in your giving. This is the only way that Kingdom of God Ministries can stay on the air, is by your support. We thank those of you that have been faithful in your giving and have helped us, because like we said, that we don't seek any self-made glorification. We're not doing this to try to get a big Learjet or try to get a big cathedral to house a lot of people in and just sit them there. But our mission, our goal is to just teach the word of God. So with that, I ask that you keep us in prayer. Amen. So we will be teaching on the carnal mind, the devil's playground. And the reason God put it on Pastor Bobby in my heart to teach on this, because we see a lot of carnality going on in the body of Christ. We see people call themselves Christians, but yet they are so carnal that you have to question, are you really a believer? Because we see actions, we see things, and now this new teaching is going around that says that there is no Satan, there is no devil in hell, so everything you do is really your own by your own mindset. And we know that Satan is the author of confusion. He's an author. He likes to divide the body of Christ, and there's a lot of false doctrine, a lot of false teaching going on. And we have to be wise and discernment, be fully engulfed in the word of God so we could see the enemy. Because Satan will come as an angel of light, but his main purpose is to get you off track. So let's go over here to the book of Romans. We're going to come out the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, 7th verse, and I will read. It said, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh, that means carnal, those that are who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have, listen to this, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, that is a strong statement there. And I would like to put this out to the brothers and sisters that says you are representing the kingdom of God. If you are living fleshly, if you are living a carnal life, you better go back and search the scriptures, because God said if the Spirit is in you, then you're going to walk accordingly and you're going to be dead to the things of the flesh, meaning that you're not going to be so quick, everything the flesh tell you to do, you're not going to be driven by the flesh, but you're going to be consecrated and walking in the Spirit. Now, you got this teaching going on that said, well, we all have sinned and come short. Yes, that's true. We have. But we shouldn't make it a daily practice of sinning. We should be quick to fall on our face and repent when we know that we have done something that is not in accordance to God's word. Let's go on. When you go among a group of these who call themselves Christian, nearly everyone thinks of himself as being a good Christian. Well, let's define that. Yet you compare one with another. There seems to be a lot of disparity between them. Some of them live lives which make you wonder if they are Christians, like I said earlier. The purpose is to just show you from a biblical perspective what God, how he views carnal living, carnal lifestyle. We're going to bring out some characteristics of spirituality and characteristics of carnality. And after I conclude my teaching, I want you to do self-evaluation and say, am I living as a spiritual man or am I being guided as a carnal man? Amen? The natural man, it's found in 1 Corinthians 2. The natural man is in chapter 2:11, says that the man, the things of man, because the spirit of man, which is in man, but the spirit of man has no connection with the spirit of God. He is tied to the spirit of this world while he is a natural man. The natural man receiveth not the things of the spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So if you are walking in a carnal, fleshly nature, you're not going to be in tune to the things of God. Your spiritual senses is dull. You're not going to even be concerned with the things of the spirit. Your flesh consumes you day in, day out. And all you want to do is things that please the flesh. Here's the list. None of the princes of this world know the wisdom of God. Why? Because they're flesh. They're fleshly men. The spirit of man is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Speak word which man's wisdom teaches. These are the spirit of God. See, the natural man can't comprehend this. The natural man cannot receive the things of the spirit of God. The natural man, for the things of the spirit of God are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man does not have the mind of Christ. You try talking with someone in a natural state of mind about the things of God. It bores them. They don't want to have nothing to do with it. But, Lord, you mentioned something about a football game or some kind of foolish program on TV, and they all ears. They could talk about that all day long, but when you start mentioning the things of God, oh, I ain't got time for that. Oh, that's boring. Oh, I don't want to go to church. Oh, all preachers are just, you know, fake, and I'm turned off to it because you're speaking from a natural man perspective. Let's talk about the spiritual man. Now, the spiritual man loves God, for it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for him that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. The spiritual man has received the Spirit of God. It is by the Spirit of God that the spiritual man might know the things that are freely given to us by God. That's in verse 13. Which things also we speak. Nothing the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The man that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. The spiritual man has the mind of Christ. Here is the list of spiritual characteristics. His speech should be in demonstration of spirit of power. The spiritual man should speak wisdom among them that are perfect. The spiritual man speak the wisdom of God in mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. The spiritual man has God the what God has prepared for them that love him. He has revealed unto us by the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God, has received the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The spiritual man teaches that which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The spiritual man that is spiritual judges all things, yea, he himself is judged of no man. But the spiritual man have the mind of Christ. This is why Jesus, he tells us to walk in the Spirit. You cannot please God continually walking in the flesh. Because if you're walking in the flesh, you're going to be carried away by every wind and doctrine. Everything somebody tells you, you're going to be running over there to hear another word, running over there to get another prophecy, running over there to get another miracle for my money. I need this. I need more money. I need a bigger house. So that fleshly man is just running you everywhere. You're going back and forth. Everywhere that flesh tells you, the flesh tells you, you can get more money, but you need to go over here. You need to go here. You need to do that. And you're driven by the flesh. Christians, we need to stop. We need to stop. We need to get back in our word. We need to get connected to the word of God. God was showing me today how the shepherd, a good shepherd, he teaches his flock. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. But God has raised up men and women in the body of Christ to teach you the unadulterated word. The shepherd that God appoints over you is going to be careful to teach you the things that is going to help your spiritual man to grow. He's not going to teach you things that's going to cause that carnal man to rise. He's not going to teach you stuff that only caters to your carnal man, how to get more junk, how to get more houses, how to get more cars. That's carnality. The man of God that God has appointed to you is going to teach you, a spiritual man and woman of God, they're going to teach you the things that's going to help you to grow in the things of God. Let's talk about the sheep. And he was just showing me that when you have a good shepherd, those sheep are getting fed. They're getting fat. They're grazing on green pastures. They're just growing, and they're just getting so fat. But the minute one of the sheep wanders away from that shepherd, that wolf is out there waiting, and he's waiting to destroy that sheep. That's why it's so imperative that you stay around the word. You stay around. Back in the old days, the saints used to say, stay around the fire, because the minute you start drifting away, you'll start noticing that little things, little foxes start creeping back in. Some of the very things that you have been delivered from, you'll start seeing them creeping back in. I remember, we have talked to a lot of people, and they said, well, you know, one while I was running strong for the Lord, but I stopped going to church, I stopped reading the word. And for you know it, their last state is worse than the first state. This is what the enemy wants to do. He wants to get you to take his bait so he can pull you away from the teaching, from the word. Let's talk about the carnal man. This is a list relating to the carnal mind. They are babes in Christ. This is how the Bible defines carnality. The Lord looks at you as an immature baby. You can't digest anything. You can't eat real meat. When the word of God is being taught, you throw it up because you just can't digest that. So you're going to heap to yourself the teacher, having itching ears. You're going to seek out that teacher that's going to only teach you stuff that cater to the flesh. How to live your best years now. Live every day as Friday. I'm so blessed I can't stand it. How to be blessed. How to receive. And so you're going to heap to yourself teachers that's teaching you this junk and is garbage because you're carnal. He said they are babes in Christ, cannot be spoken unto as spiritual, but unto carnal. Like I just said, everything is saturated with carnality. You can't even discern spiritual because your mind is so carnal. When people start talking spirit, you say, oh, they walking in the clouds. I can't understand that because you have senses. Your spiritual senses is dull because you have fed them with a lot of carnality. Like I said earlier, carnal Christians, they can't eat meat. They don't want to feed on meat. They want baby food. They want the little peaches in the jar, and you give them the little mashed potatoes and little peas. They don't want meat. They don't want to eat it. They'll throw it up. Carnal people are not able to bear meat. They don't want it. They can't stand it. The evidence. Here are some evidence of carnal Christians. They envy. They covetous. They go to places that they're not happy with just having a nice home and God have blessed them with a job, but they so covetous, they got to have their brother's house, they want their brother's wife, they want everything else. So they look with this covetous spirit and they envy. Another characteristic, they full of strife. They can't come together for anything. They always bickering. They always they want to complain and full of strife, full of division. They walk as men. Lays up the foundation. This is what he say. This is what the Bible say. Lay up on the foundation of the master builder. But they want to lay up on their foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble. Look at what you see on the televangelists these days. All they teaching about gold, silver, laying up on themselves, stuff on this earth. A lot of them is not teaching how to live a life that's pleasing to God, how to walk in the spirit. They teaching you how to get stuff. These things do not abide forever. They are earthly. The Bible says they shall be burned up. But what will it suffer if your soul is lost? These things can't save you. None of this stuff going to save you. God already told you that a carnal mind is enmity toward God. Why would you want to even risk your salvation walking in a carnal mindset? The carnal mind, he does not know that the wisdom of this world is foolish with God. And again, the Lord knoweth his thoughts of the wise. So the carnal man, he ain't thinking about the wisdom of God. He don't want to deal with the things of God. He only want to cater to the flesh. So that carnal man, if the Lord tell you don't lay up for yourself gold, silver, wood, hay, the carnal man is going to do that because that's all he's seeking out. So he, like I said earlier, he's going to seek out a teacher that's going to tell him how to get more junk, how to get more money, how to have everything he wants, how to live his best years now. See, this is catering to that carnal nature. You see what I'm saying? So we have to be very careful that we are not consumed with the flesh. Because the flesh always wants. You can't please the flesh. Let's look at a few scriptures here. And I wanted to go over here to Mark. It's actually Luke 14:18. If you would turn with me to Luke 14, and I'm going to go as the Lord lead. But it should only be about three or four scriptures here. Amen. Let's go here to Luke. Luke 14:18-20. It says, But they all with one accord began to make excuses. This is a carnal mindset. The first, this is when Jesus asked them, well, let me go up a little bit. Then he said to them, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at the supper time to say to those who were invited. See, minister, when you say you're a minister of God, that's all you are is a servant of the Most High God. It don't mean that we need to get any high accolades. We're servants of the Most High God. So as a servant of the Most High God, we're inviting people to come. He said, come, for all the things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. This is how a carnal mind works. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground. And I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused.
So he made up an excuse. I can't go right now, Lord, because I just made this business deal. I ain't able to go and worship today. I just did this. So, Lord, I got this football game. I got all my kids got to go and play sports. So I can't come worship with you, Lord God. I got too much going on. So, Lord, just please excuse me today. See, that's a corner mind, because that corner mind going to make time to do what that corner flesh want to do. Anything that flesh want to do, you're going to find time to do it. If they say we need to go and stand in line to see President Obama for from 2 in the morning, that's the only way you're going to get in here, that corner mind going to say you need to do it. But, Lord, that when it comes to the spirit, you ain't going to do it. If it means sitting in church 30 minutes longer, that flesh going to say, no, you got to get up out of here. See, that's that corner mind. So you're going to make excuses. Well, I got to go and cook my pot roast. But that's the spirit man wants to be before the Lord. That spirit man wants to press into God. He desires the things of God. And that's why it's continually warring, that spirit and that corner. Because the spirit man wants to press. That spirit man wants to see God. But that corner man is fighting you, because the corner man only wants corner stuff. A lot of times, if you're not plugged in and you're not getting fed, guess who's going to win? That corner man. You're going to find yourself catering to that corner man. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm not going to test them. I ask you to excuse me. Still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Look at the excuses. So, that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is no room. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those who were invited shall taste my supper. When you don't have time for God, God ain't going to have time for you. Let's not get it twisted. We're not here for God to serve us, but we're here to serve God. If you always making time to do stuff you want to do, God is not pleased with that. This greasy grace talk about you can live any kind of way you want to, and God is okay with that. We need to go back to the characteristics of a corner mind, because God is saying, I ain't pleased with it. I don't want no part of it. Let's go over here to Mark 6, 8, and 11. And I know I'm giving you scriptures, but I like to back up everything I say with the scriptures, with the word of God, because I don't want you just talking out of your mouth and saying, well, she just talking out of her mouth. No, I'm talking as the Spirit give us. And God woke us up early talking about this corner mind, because it's just so sad. You got Christians being overtaken with demon spirits. You got Christians being possessed, shooting themselves, committing suicide. Christians getting divorced. Christians fornicating. Christians laying up with other men. Excuse me, this is choking, but. And God is not pleased with it. But yet you congregate in these churches and you go there every Sunday and you lift in holy hands, but you're living detrimental to the things of God. Amen. Luke 6, 8 and 11, it says, so they ate and were, well, let me see. That is Luke 6. I got the wrong scripture here. Amen. It says Luke 6, 8 through 11. He commanded them to take nothing. This is when you're going out doing what God tells you to do. He said, take nothing for your journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts. Now, this would shoot down a lot of televangelists right now, because they're not going to go and preach nowhere without some money in their money bags, okay? He said, but to wear sandals and not put on 2 tonics. See, you got to trust God. Also, he said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for that city. Now, you can't tell me that when you're teaching the word of God and you teach it and people don't want to receive it, they throw it up, they vomit it out, they don't want meat, they want all this fleshly teaching. God tell you, shake the dust from them. Don't even worry about it. But he did tell his servant to go out in the highways and byways because there's somebody who want to hear it. If we have to preach it 24 hours on this radio and it goes throughout the whole world, there's going to be someone who want it. No, you may not want it because you're living in your lavish lifestyle. You got your two-car garage, 2.5 garage. You got your big house. You think you got it made. And you say, oh, I do my duties. I go to church once a week. But you're carnal. But there's going to be someone who have a heart after God who wants to hear the truth, who wants to hear what God is saying, who wants to increase in the spiritual realm. And God is just telling the men and women of God out there that's teaching from the abundance of your heart, you keep doing it because God is going to reward you accordingly. Don't get sidetracked on the big churches and the mega churches. A lot of them that you see on TV is nothing but leeches anyway. They just sucking the life out of the folk, and then they kick them over to the curb. But there's preachers and women of God out there that is actually teaching out of their heart, and they're not oppressing the people to give. If you give, it's going to be God touch your heart to give. But I'm not arm-twisting you to give anything. And that's carnal, because when you have to twist people and you got to force them, then that you're acting in a carnal nature. Amen. So I wanted to bring that out about the aspects of the natural man, the spiritual man, and the carnal man. And one thing I said, he said, 1 Corinthians 5:11, but now I have written you not to keep company. Now this is what Paul is saying. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetousness or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, which such an one know not to eat. Now, that was strong there. And people would say, oh, that's too harsh because some of my relatives. Yeah, he's saying if he call himself a brother and he's practicing these things and he's unrepentant. He said, 1 Corinthians 5:12, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? 1 Corinthians 5:13, but them that are without God judging, therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Because he don't want him, because he was saying, if you go on down, he said, don't you know the saints shall judge the world? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world, 1 Corinthians 6:2? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smartest matters? 1 Corinthians 6:3, know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? So what he was saying is God has appointed apostles and preachers in the body of Christ to go and teach correctedness. But if you don't have that going on in the body of Christ, if people is just living a carnal lifestyle, nobody is saying anything about it, they just cover it up, then that little leaven going to leaven it the whole lump. And that's why these things should be addressed. This is why we coming and addressing it now, because it's too much carnality in the body of Christ. Amen. Now, with that, I'm going to conclude my study. I just wanted to bring that out. And you can even go to the reference, Galatians 5:19. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, drunkard, murders, revelries, and such alike, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not, let's underline not, inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that debunks everything that your preachers are saying, that you can live any kind of way and make it in. If you are practicing these things, he say, unrepented things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen? So with that, I'm going to yield the floor over to Pastor Bobby. And like I said, you keep Kingdom of God Ministries in your prayers and be blessed.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of Jesus. Thank the Lord. We're talking about carnal mind, the devil's playground. And really, I really don't have to say too much because Sister Montgomery, she really brought the thing out. But I am going to add a few things. Praise God. Because we say carnal mind, the devil's playground. And when you talk about carnality, we have two different aspects of carnality. And I'm going to go into what that is. You have a carnality that's in reference to the flesh, the physical body, the physical mind. And then you also have a carnality that is in reference to the flesh, the physical mind, the body overtaking and placing the spiritual man on the low. Or, in other words, the physical body, the carnal mind taking precedent over the spirit, having more power than your spirit man. And that's what we're dealing with today. That's why we say the carnal mind, the devil's playground. Because Satan always deals with the flesh and your mind. And what does he do? He gets you to look at carnal things. He doesn't want you to look at things of the spirit. And if you do look at things of the spirit, it is things contrary to the spirit of the living God. So he's playing a mind game. He's playing the same game that he did in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. His game never changes. He always comes to us with fleshly, carnal things based on your selfishness, based on the things you want in this physical life, not on the things that's in reference to God and Christ. So we're going to get into this a little bit. Now, talking about carnality, now carnal, in the Old Testament, that word was in reference to, and an expression would indicate, sexual intercourse, lying of seed. So flesh, the desires, lust, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, lusting for things that you shouldn't have, that's carnal. The New Testament, the word renders carnal are derived from sarx, which means flesh. This refers to the flesh as opposed to the pneuma, which means spirit, and denotes in an ethical sense mere human nature, the lower side of man as apart from the divine influence, apart from Christ, apart from God, apart from the Holy Spirit, and therefore estranged from God and prone to sin. We're talking about carnality. Whatever in the soul is weak and tends toward what? Ungodliness. Thus, one may be called carnal, soul under sin, Romans 7 and 14. Christians may be carnal, 1 Corinthians 3 and 1. The lower side of being is dominant and not the spirit. Hear that? Your physical mind, the physical part of you, is high. But the spiritual part of you, in reference to God and Christ, is low. Hence, they fall into the sins of envy and strife. Now, the scripture says the weapons of the Christian warfare are not carnal. It's not merely human. Okay? It's not. But it's of God. It's of Christ. Now, spiritually, now 2 Corinthians 10 and 4 refers to not after the law, but of a carnal nature. Hebrews 7:16, the carnal mind is enmity against God. That's Romans 8 and 7. So to be carnally minded is death. Okay, mind of the flesh. To have a mind of the flesh equals to death. But to be spiritually minded is equal to life and peace. I'm going to go into that a little later. The carnal ordinances, in contrast to the spirit, carnal things, those that pertain to the body, in contrast to spiritual things. Same expressions are elsewhere rendered fleshly. Now, I want to bring out something. Now, see, there's a difference between two types of carnality, and these words are sarkinos and sarkikos. Now, the former definition denotes the material of which an object is made. In other words, it's a reference to just your physical flesh, your mind, your brain, the physical part that you can feel. But then the other part of it, which is in reference to sarkikos, is the spiritual nature, your spirit man, that is overtaken or given up, as it were, to the flesh. In other words, you sacrifice your spirit man for the things of the flesh. So in other words, you, instead of crucifying the flesh, you crucify the spirit part of you. So what you basically tell God, you say, no, I don't want to grow in the things of the spirit. Give me the things of the flesh. Give me carnal things. Give me the meat. Give me the money. Give me the women. Give me the men. Give me the power. Give me everything of this world. I do not want the things of God. I don't want that. I want the carnal things of this world. And that's where the devil's playground is. The devil is the god of this world. The devil is the god of this world. He's not the god of heaven. He's not the god of the kingdom of God. He's the prince, the power of the air. He's a liar. He's a killer. He's a destroyer. He's a deceiver. He dwells in carnality. He will give you the things of the world at the expense of your soul, the destruction of your spirit. That's what the carnal mind, that's what carnality leads you to. And what does carnality do? What does it bring you? Stuff. It will not bring you the things of the Spirit. It will not cause you to grow in the Spirit of God. It will not cause you to read your Bible. The carnal mind will not cause you to seek Jesus Christ. The carnal mind will not cause you to repent. The carnal mind will not cause you to fight against the enemy. It does just the opposite. So that's what we're talking about, the carnal mind, the devil's playground. Now, we're going to get into some other things in reference to this, what we're talking about, the carnal mind, the devil's playground, because a lot of people seem to be, it looks like they can't tell the difference. They can't tell the difference between God and the devil. They have absolutely no discernment at all when it comes to the things of God and the things of the devil. You can't mix that. You can't mix a carnal mind with the spiritual mind. It won't mix. It's like oil and water. You can shake, you can put oil in water, you can shake it, you can shake it, you can shake it, you can shake it. It'll look like it's come together. But then when you stop shaking it, what happens? It separates. What happens? The oil rises to the top. You can keep shaking it, but that oil gonna still rise to the top. But that's how it should be in your spirit. Your spirit man should have preeminence and power over the carnal mind. But unless you surrender to Jesus Christ, your spirit to God is dead. And carnality produces death. That's all it does. It doesn't produce life, not in the spirit. You might look alive, but you're really dead. You're like a zombie. You're like the walking dead when the carnal mind is in control. Because if the carnal mind is in control, guess who else is in control? It's the devil. Now, you might say, well, you know, I got control over my own mind. I can do what I want to do. Well, to a certain degree. But if you haven't, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if God and Christ is not your Savior, if you don't have the Spirit of God, that Holy Ghost, residing within you, guess who you're being led by? You're being led by the enemy. Because there's no purgatory. There's no in-between. There's no gray areas. You're either with the Lord Jesus Christ or you're with the enemy. And the enemy works with your mind. He works with the carnal part of you. Let me read some scriptures to you here. We're talking about the carnal mind, the devil's workshop. So I'm going to talk about this thing right here. I'm coming out of Romans 7. I'm going to read some things to you here. Now, I'm coming with Romans 7, starting at the fourth verse. In the same way, brothers and sisters, you have died to the laws of in Moses, teachings through Christ's body. You belong to someone else, the one who was brought back to life, meaning Jesus Christ. As a result, we can do what God wants. While we were living under the influence of our corrupt nature, under our carnal mind, sinful passions were at work throughout our bodies. Carnality, stirred up by the laws in Moses. Teachings, our sinful passions did things that result in death. But now we have died to those laws that bound us. God has spoken their effect on us so that we are serving in a new spiritual way, not in an old way dictated by written words. Huh. In a new spiritual way. In the way of the Spirit. What should we say then? Are the laws and Moses' teachings sinful? That's unthinkable. It's unthinkable. In fact, I wouldn't have recognized sin if those laws hadn't shown it to me. For example, I wouldn't have known that some desires are sinful if Moses' teachings had not said, never have wrong desires. But sin took the opportunity provided by this commandment and made me have all kinds of wrong desires. Clearly, without laws, sin is dead. At one time, I was alive without any laws. But when this commandment came, sin became alive, and I died. And I found that the commandment which was intended to bring me life actually brought me death. Sin, taking the opportunity provided by this commandment, deceived me and then killed me. In other words, the law brought forth the fact that men were sinning, and that we had to repent of that sin. And if we did not repent of that sin, what did we do? We died. Now, how did we die? Because our spirit was not made alive in Christ Jesus. That is a result of the carnal mind. The carnal mind is always in reference to sin. If you're carnal, you're going to desire to sin. A desire to not please God because your flesh is in the way, because you want to do what you want to do. That's why the carnal mind is the devil's playground. Because the devil will get in there and point you to you. He will not point you to God in Christ. He won't do that. So, the laws and Moses' teachings are holy, and the commandment is holy, right, and good. Now, did something good cause my death? That's unthinkable. Rather, my death was caused by sin, so that sin should be recognized for what it is. Through a commandment, sin became more sinful than ever. What are we talking about here? Carnal mind, the devil's playground. Sin did not come into the world until the devil went into the garden and deceived Adam and Eve with a lie dealing with their physical mind. He spoke to them dealing with their mind, dealing with the lust of the flesh, dealing with the lust of the eye, and he deceived them with a lie, telling them that they would be something that they were not to be and could never be. Carnal mind, the devil's playground. Carnal mind, the devil's playground. Carnal mind is the devil's playground. He comes on into that stuff because he's the one that introduced it. Carnality and filth and evil, wrongdoing and sin. Now listen to this. I know that God's standard and Moses' teachings are spiritual, but I have a corrupt nature, a carnal nature. sold as a slave to sin. I don't realize what I'm doing. I don't do what I want to do. Instead, I do what I hate. I don't do what I want to do, but I agree that God's standards are good. So I'm no longer the one who is doing the things I hate, but sin that lives in me is doing them. The carnal mind will confuse you. It will cause you to do things that is not pleasing to God. But at the same time, it will convince you that you are doing the right thing. That's how the carnal mind works. So what do we need to do? We need to seek Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to read some other things to you. I know that nothing good lives in me. Now, this is Romans 7 and 18. I know that nothing good lives in me. That is, nothing good lives in my corrupt nature or in my carnal mind. Although I have the desire to do what is right, I don't do it. When you have a carnal mind, when you have a mind that's selfish, when you have a mind that's centered on self, do what you want to do, do what thou wilt, do what thou wilt, then you can't please God. It's impossible because you're not surrendering to the will of God. You're not surrendering to the Spirit of God. You're not surrendering to the Word of God. Only thing you see is what you want. God and Christ is not important to you when your mind is carnal. Everything takes precedent over what God is telling you. Now, when I do what I don't want to do, I'm no longer the one who's doing it. Sin that lives in me is doing it. So I've discovered this truth. Evil is present with me even when I want to do what God's standards say is good. I take pleasure in God's standards in my inner being. However, I see a different standard at work throughout my body, throughout my carnal mind, throughout my flesh. It is at war with the standards my mind sets and tries to take me captive to sin standards, which still exists throughout my body. What a miserable person I am. Who will rescue me from my dying body? Listen, here is the rescuer. I thank God that our Lord Jesus Christ rescues me, so I'm obedient to God's standards with my mind. But I am obedient to sin's standards with my corrupt nature, with my carnal mind. I obey sin's nature. I obey the devil with my carnal mind. But in God's standards, you can obey God in your mind. You do not have to have a carnal mind. Why? Because Jesus Christ. We can have the mind of Christ because of what Jesus did on the cross. He rescued us from the aspect of carnality, and we don't have to be carnal now. So if you are carnal because you desire to be, because you will not submit to the things of God. But remember, the carnal mind is the devil's playground. So if you hooked up on self, if you are hooked up in the things of the world, then the devil, you invite Satan into your life. Now, let me read something else. Now, the Spirit of God makes us his children. Now, listen to this. This is Romans 8. So those who are believers in Christ Jesus can no longer be condemned. The standards of the Spirit who gives life through Christ Jesus have set you free from the standards of sin and death, from the standards of a carnal mind and death. All right? It is impossible to do what God's standards demand because of the weakness of our human nature, the weakness our human nature has. In other words, you cannot please God when your mind is away from God. When you're thinking about everything that is not in reference to the things of God, you can't please God. You can't please God doing anything and thinking in any kind of a way. But God sent his Son to have a human nature as sinners have and to pay for sin. Jesus already took care of all that. That way God condemns sin in our corrupt nature. Therefore, we who do not live by our corrupt nature, but by our spiritual nature, are able to meet God's standards in Moses' teaching. In other words, you cannot please God on your own. You have to be led by the Spirit of the living God, has to be alive within you by his word, by his spirit, or else you can't do it. Or else the carnal mind is going to have power over you. And or else the devil will have power over you, and the devil will be playing in your yard. Those who live by the corrupt nature have the corrupt nature's attitude. But those who live by the spiritual nature have the spiritual nature's attitude. The corrupt nature's attitude leads to death. The carnal mind leads to death. But the spiritual nature's attitude leads to life and peace. Did you hear that, brothers and sisters? To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. This is so, because the corrupt nature has a hostile attitude toward God. The carnal mind has a hostile attitude towards God. Now, who would give you that? The devil will cause your mind to be carnal, or you yourself will cause your mind to be carnal. And if your mind is carnal, if you bent on self, if you bent on the things of this world, then you have a hostile attitude toward God. It refuses to place itself under the authority of God's standards because it just can't. Those who are under the control of the corrupt nature cannot please God. You cannot please God with a carnal mind. Do you hear me? You cannot please God with a carnal mind, a earthly mind, a worldly mind, a selfish mind, a sinful mind. You cannot please God. But listen, but if God's Spirit lives in you, you are under the control of your spiritual nature, not your corrupt nature. Now, who did that? Jesus did that. Jesus did that for you when he came, he lived, he preached the word of God, he went up on the cross, he was crucified, he died, he was buried, he was resurrected on the third day. That, what he did, gives us spiritual life, and we can live in the spiritual nature of God. And we do not have to have a carnal mind. We can come against the things that the devil brings to our mind. He gives us the authority and the power to be ambassadors to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to be the ambassador to Father God, Yahweh, Jehovah. Yes. We do not have to have a carnal mind now. The devil does not have to be in our yard. The devil does not have to control us. We don't have to be led by sin. We don't have to be led by the things that are wrong or not pleasing to God. We can be led by the Spirit of the living God and please God. Now, listen to this. It says, whoever doesn't have the Spirit of Christ doesn't belong to him. However, if Christ lives in you, your bodies are dead because of sin. But your spirits are alive because you have God's approval. Huh? That carnal mind is supposed to die when you come in contact with God, or when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. That carnal mind is supposed to die. So you have authority over that. You don't have to receive that. You don't have to accept that. You can rebuke that in the name of Jesus, because that's what Jesus did on the cross. He delivered us from the bondages of sin, from the bondages of a sinful mindset, from the bondages of the cares and the traps and the tricks of this world. Does the spirit of the one who brought Jesus back to life live in you? Then the one who brought Christ back to life will also make your mortal bodies alive by his Spirit who lives in you. Romans 8 and 12. So, brothers and sisters, we have no obligation to live the way our corrupt nature wants us to live. Did you hear that? We don't have any obligation to live by the carnal mind. We don't have to do what our carnal mind tells us. We don't have to be caught up in the ways of this world. We don't have to be sinners anymore. We do not have to obey the evil one. We don't have to accept what he tells us. We don't. We don't. We don't. Because the Lord Jesus has made provision for us in that area. We're not obligated to live and obey the carnal mind, the corrupt nature. But listen to this. If you live by your corrupt nature, you're going to die. You are going to die. You hear that? What does the carnal mind produce? It produces death. What did Jesus do? He came that we might have life, and that we might have what? That life more abundantly. Jesus didn't come and die on the cross that we can stay carnally minded, or stay full of sin, or stay in an unrepentant state of mind, bound up by the things of this world, bound up by sin, bound up by selfishness, bound up by everything in the world. No, no, no. But if you use your spiritual nature to put to death the evil activities of the body, you will live. Certainly, all who are guided by God's Spirit are God's children. You haven't received the spirit of slaves that lead you into fear again. Instead, you have received the spirit of God's adopted children, by which we call out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. If we are his children, we are also God's heirs. If we share in Christ's suffering and are to share his glory, we are heirs together with him. Now look, Jesus, he didn't leave us comfortless. He didn't leave us on this earth by ourselves. He didn't save us and just say, okay, you go out there, you handle it the best way you can handle it. No, he didn't do that. He left us some help. The Spirit of God will help us to fight against this carnal mind. It will help us to fight against the things of the world. It will help us to fight against the devil and his onslaught. What is that? It's the Spirit of the living God. Listen. Romans, I'm coming out of Romans 8, and I'm at the 18th verse now. But listen to this. God's Spirit helps us. The only way we can deal with the things of the enemy and have victory is through the Spirit of the living God, that Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of holiness. Listen to this here. Romans 8:18, I consider our present sufferings insignificant compared to the glory that will soon be revealed to us. All creation is eagerly waiting for God to reveal who his children are. Creation was subject to frustration not by its own choice. The one who subjected it to frustration did so in the hope that it would also be set free from slavery to decay in order to share the glorious freedom that the children of God we have. We know that all creation has been groaning with the pains of childbirth up to the present time. However, not only creation groans, we who have the Spirit as the first of God's gifts also groan inwardly. We groan as we eagerly wait for our adoption, the freeing of our bodies from sin. We were saved with this hope in mind. If we hope for something we already see, it's not really hope. Who hopes for what can be seen? But if we hope for what we don't see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. At the same time, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, because we don't know how to pray for what we need. But the Spirit intercedes along with our groans that cannot be expressed in words. The one who searches our hearts knows what the Spirit has in mind. The Spirit intercedes for God's people the way God wants him to. So people of the Most High God, the Holy Ghost is helping us with this thing. The Holy Ghost is helping us with that carnal mind. The Holy Ghost is helping us to fight against your own mindset, your own fleshly thinking, your own carnal mind, but you have to obey the Spirit of God. You have to do what the Word tells us to do. Now listen to this. In all of this that we talked about, carnal mind, the devil's playground, it say nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from God's love when we obey the living God. Look, all of this is about a choice. All of this is about obedience. Now, we're talking about carnal mind, the devil's playground, but see, you're going to adhere to one or the other. You're going to listen to one or the other. Now, what we're telling you is how you can listen to God, how you can listen to Christ Jesus, how you can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, how you can operate and dwell in the mind of Christ. The scripture tells us to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It didn't say anything about having a carnal mind. It didn't have anything about saying about earthly mind. It didn't have anything to say about the things that you learn of this earth in reference to the things of the spirit. It didn't say nothing. It didn't say anything about psychology. It didn't say anything about that. It didn't say anything about that. It's talking about the things of the Spirit in Christ Jesus and the Lord. That's the mind that we should have. Because when you start going any other way, when you start listening to the things that the world is talking about, when you start catering to your own flesh of what you want, what you need, it's taking you away from the things of God. Now, don't get me wrong. Now, God knows we have needs. He knows we need food, we need water, we need clothing, we need a roof over our head, we need transportation. We have needs. God knows all about that. But those needs are not supposed to stand in the place of God. And that's all you think about. The Lord God, Jesus Christ, is the last thing on your agenda. That's not how it's supposed to be. That's carnality. That's the way of the world. That's the way of the Gentile. That's not the way of God's people. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me, people. Get in your word. Communicate with God in Christ. Seek the true things of the living God. Don't listen to people who's telling you lies. Don't listen to people who's telling you that you need something of this world apart from God and Christ. Listen, listen, listen. It's a lot of liars out there. There are many false prophets and false teachers out there that teach that everything is wrapped up in what you have. It's not. It's not the things of this world that's going to get you into the kingdom of God. What's going to get you into the kingdom of God is that door, which is Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Money won't get you there. Your flesh won't get you there. The thoughts of your mind apart from Jesus Christ will not get you there. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. Because we don't have much time left. And some of you have even less time than what you think. Don't let your carnal mind destroy you. Don't let the things of this world destroy you. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. Don't believe what Satan is telling you, that you don't need the Lord, that you don't need God, that there are many ways to heaven. There's not many ways to heaven. There's only one way, and that's Jesus Christ. And you must accept him as your Lord and Savior. You must repent. You must repent. You must repent. Huh. It's time out for the foolishness. Get this mess out of your mind that you can get into heaven any way you want to. You got your own way to make it into the kingdom of God. No, you don't. The only way you have is through Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. Now, listen to this here. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Romans 8:28 reads, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. You hear that? For those who love God. It didn't say everything worked together for the good of those who are carnal-minded, who are running after all the things of the world, who got all kind of different ways to make it into the kingdom, who doing whatever they want to do, who curse God, who play with God, who put God on the low and take God for granted. It didn't say that. It said we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those whom he has called according to his plan. This is true because he already knew his people and already appointed them to have the same form as the image of his son. Therefore, his son is the firstborn among many children. He also called those whom he had already appointed. He approved of those whom he had called, and he gave glory to those whom he had approved of. Now, I want to talk about this a minute. And say, he was the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, Jesus Christ brought salvation into the world. He brought true salvation into the world. We were adopted into the family of God by and through Jesus Christ. He is the door. He destroyed the carnality of men's minds, where they can open their eyes and see into the realm of the Spirit of God in Christ. Jesus did that. Well, what can we say about all this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Well, if God is for us, we don't have to have a carnal mind. We don't have to be dictated by the world on how we should live or what is right and wrong. Huh? Because God is for us. So he gave us strength and the ability to stand strong in the things of God because we know who we are in Christ. Now, so he will also give us everything along with him who will accuse those whom God has chosen. God has approved of them. Who will condemn them? Christ has died. And more importantly, he has brought back to life. Christ has the highest position in heaven. Christ also intercedes for us. What will separate us from the love Christ has for us? Can trouble, distress, persecution, hunger, nakedness, danger, or violent death separate us from his love? As the scripture says, we are being killed all day long because of you, because of Christ. We are thought of as sheep to be slaughtered. The one who loves us gives us an overwhelming victory in all these difficulties. I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, which Christ Jesus, our Lord, shows us. We can't be separated by death or life, by angels or rulers, by anything in the present or anything in the future, by forces or powers in the world above or in the world below, or by anything else in creation. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have to know that. We have to have that in our minds. We cannot be led by the carnal flesh, because the carnal flesh will destroy you. Yeah. Amen. All right. Praise God. Is there anybody, in reference to what we have, the lines are open. You can call in at 1-323-375-0849. That's 323-375-0849. If there's anybody who would desire to call in or have a thought or desire a quick prayer, we'll be more than happy to listen to you and to assist you in that matter. Okay, hold on. Hold on a moment, please.
Amen. And as Pastor Bobby was going forth, God was just dealing with me on some things. He was just letting me know that there are some of you out there that you've been delivered from a lot of carnality. God did a lot of things for you. He broke some demonic strongholds off your life. What God wants to say is stay in the Word, because I noticed that when you start feeling yourself getting
away from the things of God, a lot of old associations will start coming back around. Now, notice when you were plugged into the things of God, they didn't want to be bothered with you. You tell them, well, I'm going to church and God cleaned me up from drugs or homosexuality or fornication. They cut you off. But the minute you start letting your guards down and you start getting back carnal, here they come again. So God just wants you to stay in the Word. Keep your mind on Christ, Jesus. Don't be so quick to get caught back up in what God delivered you from. Let God continually be in your heart. Let God continually work on us. We all being worked on. None of us are perfect. No, I'm not saying that. God had to deliver me out of some things, Pastor Bobby out of some stuff. But once he delivered us out of it, I'm very careful about who I come in contact with, because I don't want to get contaminated or get drawn back into that very thing that God delivered me out of. So that's why you need spiritual discernment. Everybody that say they're your friend, just like God got have people that's working for his kingdom, Satan have agents working for him. And their main objective, they'll come to you like they're your friend, but their main objective is to get you sucked back in. The reason I say this, I was reminded, a young man told me of a situation where this young lady, she had been delivered out of drugs. She was smoking a lot of heroin, and God delivered her from the drugs. Well, she was in church, going strong in the things of God, but she got caught back up with an old boyfriend. That old boyfriend got her turned on to some harder stuff than heroin. She was doing meth. She was doing it all. A year later, she's dead because she got sucked back up in it. I know of another young man. He was carnal. He was plugged into the things of God. He got drawn back out in the world. He started running women, whoring around. Next thing you know, he's dead to this day. This is what Satan wants to do to all of us. He wants to get us away from the fire, get us back with those bad associations where he can come in, take control over your mind, get you so carnal that a lot of times you might get caught out there unprepared. And that's why I read you earlier about when Jesus was asking the people to come into the kingdom. He had made the marriage feast. He was inviting all of them to come, but many of them rejected him. But Jesus said, the ones that want me, go out in the highways and byways, because there's going to be someone that want me. So I just wanted to say that. Be very mindful. Value your salvation. Hold your salvation dear to your heart. Don't be so quick to take it for granted and say, well, I'm saved, so that's all I need to do. You don't read. You won't study. You don't want to be around the things of God. You all, and another thing, a lot of stuff we watch on TV.
Got a doubt of the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down so your people can hear it. Got a doubt of the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down so your people can hear it. Oh, 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 oh. Gotta die, gotta die. People can hear it.
So many times I felt like a failure. So many times I call on the Savior, who picked me up when my head is hanging low to the ground. When there's nobody else around, when I felt like giving up, you helped me put the weight down. On my shoulders, big boulders, they roll right off. On my knees, I seek the Father, help me bear my cross. To Calvary I walked, and now my flesh at the cross. Now that I'm found, I can't never ever be lost. I serve the boss, Jesus Christ anointed, paid the cost for my sin, who burdens got to leave. Keep my head above the sea, fighting till I finish my race. I got my crown in heaven, no devil kissed in my place. My name can't be erased in this book of life. I die to live, to be united with Christ. Spirit over the flesh, it's a constant test. Daily being tested, so I stay in my best. Spiritual, I mean the word like a box of cereal. The anointing make them demons get straight fearful. Upon me is great, it's Jesus who lives in me. I got the power of the Trinity, I'm walking in the victory.
I'm walking in the victory.
Power of the Trinity, I'm walking in the victory.
I'm walking in the victory.
Got a doubt of the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down so your people can hear it. Got a doubt of the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down so your people can hear it. Oh, 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 oh. Gotta die, gotta die. Battle is in our minds. Is it hard to find? In these end times, brothers is dying, doing senseless crimes, marching with death, blindly to blind. Got they taste of nine in the street. Life is hell on earth. Look at the signs. Forgot about Christ. Now people find living in the flesh, lovers of lust. Who can you trust with your life? Don't live for Jesus. Who you the Antichrist? It's spiritual, way more real and innocent and natural. You can't fake it. Living this life just like the Matrix. Is it breathtaking spiritual? Whoa, am I from dope? I can't fake it. If you ready to ride, just let me know. I ain't playing no games, brother Jesus. Hold through my veins. Word of pain, serving you is a must. Ain't a shame, through with the game. Stop playing a cane. What did I gain? 380 to my brain. Made a brother want to change. Got a second chance, chosen through my father's name. Preaching to the poor and fame, taking a lane. Gotta remain, spread the word to all nations. Keeping my patience, can't be deceived by Satan. No debating, facing special situations. Straight contemplating, gotta keep my head up, cause it's all in the making. Feel your Holy Spirit touch, never left alone. Deep in my bones, fighting till we take us home. We ain't never alone, never alone, never alone, never alone.
Got a doubt of the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down so your people can hear it. Got a doubt of the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down so your people can hear it. Oh, 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 oh.
Gotta die, gotta die. In the spirit to the flesh is dead. Destroying walls, built from lies. Got people misled. They chasing money, filled with greed. Serving the God of mammon. False doctrines being spread as they deliver the sermon. I see people with itchy ears. They enjoy the lies. And if it ain't about money, then it ain't about Christ. It's like rub God's belly. You get a surprise. Be careful of false prophets dressed in a pretty disguise. Friend lines in the pulpits, unscheduled folks' eyes. But I'm doing a new thing. Are you ready to ride? Revival is breaking out. Flames of holy fire. Revival is breaking out. Flames of holy fire. Fire, fire, fire. Got a doubt of the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down so your people can hear it. Got a doubt of the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down so your people can hear it. Oh, 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 gotta die, gotta die. So the people can hear it.